Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Alright, welcome to the number one Bengals podcast. I'm Daddy McDuke. I'm joined as always by Dr. Hoji, the Electric Smoji, and John Sheeran. And we have a very, very special guest today. I'm talking about Paul Catalina, who was the host on ESPN for 15 years. He is now the host of the Believe in Cowboys podcast with Orlando Skandrick. And he also is a writer for Sikkim 365. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, the return of Andy Dalton.
Yeah,
so excited. Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, I kind of wondered if you guys would want to talk about Andy Dalton.
Yeah, he's as Andy as ever. He's just as Andy as ever.
We definitely didn't talk about him enough in the last 10 years.
It's Andy versus Randy. Dalton versus Randy Bullock.
Paul, you know, a lot of times people feel jealous of their exes, you know, this and that. But I just want to say he's all yours. I mean, we do not have any attachments.
No, actually, it's funny you should say that. It's funny you should say that, because to me, Andy Dalton is like the ex-husband that maintains a good relationship. I mean, people in Cincinnati still love Andy Dalton. We're kind of, I'm going to be rooting for the guy because he's kind of a sweetheart. Even though the problem with Andy, and I don't know if Paul, if you'd agree with this, the problem with Andy is that he's just good enough so that you almost wonder if it could work. And he's just bad enough that it doesn't work.
I think you pretty much nailed it. I think you pretty much nailed it with Andy Dalton. Now, for the Cowboys, he's the best backup quarterback they've had in a long, long time. We're saving money at that position, just to be quite honest with you, and still remain to because they haven't really paid Dak Prescott what he's worth yet. But, and that's another thing that's coming down the line. But Andy Dalton, you know, he was a seemingly a nice pickup in the offseason. And look, for what he's been dealt, I think he's been okay. But I kind of see where Bengals fans just said, all right, enough is enough with Andy Dalton. And he's somebody I've been watching since he was in college at TCU, and he's good. I mean, he's fine, but you know, he has a very low ceiling, and you want to like him, you do, but you know, again, he's going to leave you wanting more.
It's crazy how we have watched that for 9 years, right? And Cowboys fans, at least some that I've seen on Twitter, are saying the same exact thing about Dak Prescott. It's crazy to me. It's like you don't know what you have until you don't.
Oh, Dak Prescott,
that's another good marriage metaphor, by the way, John. Love the wisdom you're putting out today. You don't know what you got till it's gone. How many a divorce has led to a remarriage, at least in
I mean, John hasn't been divorced, I don't even think, you know, one-tenth as many times.
Three times? Four times?
I need up that score. You're a rook. I need to get up on Hoji's level.
Yeah, many a good divorce lawyer.
Yeah, but let's be clear. Dak Prescott was, I think he threw like 400-yard games. I think the game he got injured, other than that, he was averaging like 400 yards a game. Am I right, Paul? I mean, it was historic. I mean, this kid, I mean, all the talk of, you know, he's not worth, what, $30 million? What was it originally they could have had him for per year, you know? I mean, it is shocking, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And it's great. John made a great point. Cowboys fans with Dak before the season, I remember the funny thing was like, well, now they got Andy Dalton and this is a message to Dak. And it's like, are you freaking kidding me? Do you watch? Sometimes I wonder if we're all watching the same thing. I mean, that's kind of how it is in like the universe, but like in the world in 2020. But like, are we all watching the same thing? So I'm watching Dak Prescott just do nothing but win. And then Andy Dalton is no longer in Cincinnati anymore because for the last 3 years, he did nothing but lose. And now, was that all his fault? No, but like you can't just dismiss it from him. And with Dak Prescott, he was the only thing that was keeping the Cowboys relevant at all this year. I mean, the defense was so bad. I mean, especially when he was still healthy before he broke his leg, they were so bad. I mean, I think I told you guys this before. John F. Kennedy was still alive before there was a defense that had played this bad for as many weeks as they had. So,
yeah.
You can't.
He was your Joe Burrow, so to speak. I mean, our team has really fallen apart without Joe Burrow, and we see all the flaws come forth.
Yeah, Paul, can I ask you something? Because I don't follow the Cowboys that closely, okay? Mm-hmm. But is this a Jerry Jones thing? Because look, Hoji and I are old enough to remember. I know you and John are probably not, but when the Cowboys under Jimmy Johnson, I mean, that was...
Well, I'm 40, so believe me.
Okay, so you're about half of Hoji's age, yeah. But so, like, when you look at what Jimmy Johnson did to the Cowboys, we're talking about basically mostly Pro Bowlers that he drafted.
They named a Subway restaurant after him, Jimmy Johnson.
Right, great. And the thing is, Jerry Jones, it's very clear to me, I don't know, maybe this is just, you know, my own history, rewriting history in my mind, but at the time that I was reading, Jerry Jones just didn't like that all the credit was going to Jimmy Johnson.
Well, and he was jealous of his hair. He was jealous of that beautiful hair.
That too. And then we have this here with Dak Prescott. It's like, okay, you have a franchise quarterback. You got to pay him. And he's like, no, you know, maybe we can put pressure on him to sign for less because, you know, our team, you know, our offensive line is stacked. Or this is, like, we built the team right. And so now we can just put in the Andy Dalton and the team will still, you know, be functioning. It seems like an ego thing again.
Well, okay, I'm going to give you a brief Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson history lesson. So Jimmy wanted to leave too. They were sick of each other. So Jimmy kind of forced his way out. And then they brought in Barry Switzer and won a little bit. And then that just ultimately didn't work out. Actually, Barry Switzer was a guest on my show just last week, but on the Signal 365 show. And, you know, like there's still a little bit of bad blood between Jerry and Jimmy, but like it's mostly gone. And that's kind of over now because they both kind of realized where they were at in their life. Now, what I'll tell you about Jerry is he's the best owner in all professional sports, but he is a middle of the road general manager at best, sometimes the worst. So he will do because of his ego. And you're right. He does have a gigantic ego, but players love playing for him. People love working for him when they work for him. The problem is that if you compare him to, say, and I know that you guys following the Bengals know this, the Steelers are the most well-run organization. I mean, they might be like, if you just compared them to like good run corporations like Southwest Airlines or, you know, Trader Joe's or something like that, like they just run their business well. They have a singular vision of like, this is what we believe will be excellent and how they do that. And Jerry Jones likes to pull from a lot of different ways. Like, oh, I'm a 4-3, I'm a 3-4, I'm a this guy, I'm a that guy, I have this and that and that. The Steelers have been, you know, they have, this is what we're going to do. This is the personnel we're going to build. The Cowboys, you know, will change, you know, schemes midstream. This is the problem with Mike McCarthy and Mike Nolan's defense is that, you know, Mike Nolan come in and put a 3-4. Well, they've been running a 4-3 for a decade now. So they don't have the personnel. Well, Jerry kind of often realizes these things too late. And that's what's been the last 25 years. It's like, he's doing something he feels is innovative and changing, but he doesn't do it until it's too late. So.
I agree. I mean, I know he wanted to draft Manziel and his son was like, no, trust me, you got to build offensive line. Manziel is not the franchise quarterback. So I know that he is not the best general manager. And he's kind of, I think, handed over duties to Stephen Jones, his son. But what I was saying about the ego is now they have this guy right there. I mean, there's no decision to make. You have your quarterback. He is a star. And to acknowledge that he is the star, because like Troy Aikman, come on, I know he's in the Hall of Fame and you're gonna get upset, but I mean, he was kind of a game manager, okay? I mean, it was kind of like he was in brilliant, perfect situation. Okay.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah. No, he was a much better Andy Dalton. Much better Andy Dalton. But I mean, he wasn't Kang. But now he's faced with a guy who really is the franchise star. And it's hard for him to acknowledge that because he wants it to be about, yeah.
Yeah, which I might just add surprises me because I see every NFL team as having a personality. Like I like the fact that the Browns are good at the run. I think the Bengals have maintained their West Coast offense identity. And the way I see the and Steelers, for example, being kind of tough and defensive and all that. The way I see the Cowboys identity is the gunslinger identity. Like I remember when Barry Switzer tried to take a gun on a plane. I think that you could have in Dak. Like I would say that Dak, to me, is like awesome for the Cowboys, not just because of how good he is, but you said watch him play. When you watch that man play, he's a gunslinger. I mean, he's amazing.
I mean, part of the thing with Dak is, I mean, look, Jerry loves players, like almost to a fault. And he's very forget, like, look, Randy Gregory, Alden Smith, like those are the guys who are the kind of Jerry reclamation projects on the roster right now. There's always a couple. You know, he loves players and players love playing for Jerry because most of the time he takes care of them. And believe me, when you are a Cowboy, like if you are I don't know if it's the same in Cincinnati, but being a Cowboy for 4 years and being moderately good will set you for life in that you can just do anything you want in Texas, really. You're set. I mean, you are. Okay. I mean, as long as you're smart about it. And he loves players. The thing about Dak is kind of fascinating to me in that, like, you know, he paid Amari Cooper. He paid Zeke Elliott. He's paid all these other guys. But Dak, because that number is so big, they've just kind of gotten lost in the weeds on it. And I don't understand. I don't understand why it's gotten this far. They could have saved themselves a lot of money 2 years ago by just doing it 2 years ago when they knew that. But they've gotten in the weeds on this thing. And it's part of it is just like they're probably as closer than we realize, but the detail that they're close on is the biggest detail, which I think is the overall years. And with the salary cap going down, it makes it even tougher this next year. But yeah, it's not ego. He's not threatened by Dak at all. Believe me, Jerry loves star. Jerry was on freaking Entourage. Like Jerry loves attention. He loves people talking about the stars of his team. Now, sometimes he elevates them higher than they should be, but he loves stars. I mean, so again, if he could run his team like the Steinbrenner Yankees did back in the day, he totally would.
Well, let me ask you a question, follow-up question, Paul. Is Dak the same Dak after the injury? And I ask this because we have a quarterback who's had quite an injury. Is he worth as much after the injury?
I think so. There's some video of him last night. I mean, like, he's walking around. He doesn't even have a boot on his foot right now. Like, he's walking around without it. So the injury, like, while it looked terrible, obviously, you know, it was a horrible looking injury. I think the Cowboys, which they seem to do a lot of time, lucked out in the fact that it could have been way, way worse. There's no ligament damage. It's just a broken bone. So as long as that bone heals correctly, Dak will be fine and should be good to go, you know, come mini camp if it's normal. Wow. 2021. So that remains to be, you know, seen. Be the same. So,
yeah. I mean, so this game, we don't have Dak. We have Andy Dalton. And congratulations on having Andy Dalton on your team. But Bengals fans are going to be rooting for Andy Dalton, as you saw, because the Bengals, you know, you are only two games out of first place. Mm-hmm. And you guys have to still try. We do not. We have the Steelers. And we do not have to try when you have the Steelers. You know, it's like, okay, they're like, we got this. We're like, okay, we'll just get out of the way and we'll just lose over here in the corner. And we don't really. Yeah. I mean, Paul, I mean, we have nothing. We have nothing to look forward to on this team.
No.
We have, it's not that we have a
backup. I don't even like this team. Yeah.
Nobody likes our team. Nobody wants to watch our team.
No.
And the players do not like themselves. They're not looking, they can't look at them. Yeah. Their families don't like them. It is a bad situation, Paul. And really, you're going to win this game. Let's just be clear. You're going to win this game because we have our defense looks okay at some times, but not against, you know, more potent offenses.
You can see and the skepticism in his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And our offense is really like we get like 2 yards a carry, and the furthest our quarterback can throw downfield is about 3 yards. So yeah, I just want to talk about the preview a little bit. John, I want to get your take on this matchup.
I want to ask, like, Paul, last time the Bengals played the Cowboys was 2016. Ezekiel Elliott ran for like 140 yards in that game, including like one long touchdown. Since then, I don't know what Zeke is now. Every time I watch the Cowboys on primetime, whatever, he's fumbling or he's just not really explosive right now. I feel like Bengals fans will root for him to have a good game in the hopes that the Bengals lose. But like, what has been going on with Zeke? And like, is Tony Pollard just that much better?
I don't think Tony Pollard's like, ultimately Zeke's the best guy. I mean, last night he actually had his best game of the season. And, you know, if you watched it, like he had his best, most consistent game of the season. I think he needed that 12 days off that they got between Thanksgiving, which is a terrible game for him. And now I think he's been a little banged up. I mean, everybody's got mileage in them. Everybody has a limited amount of mileage, and it begs the question, is he starting to hit his? I think part of it is just the offensive line is a shell of what it was. They weren't what they thought. The offense has changed. Mike McCarthy's never been great about feeding a running back the ball, which is another reason I don't think this was the best hire that Jerry could have made, just an offensive philosophy, even though McCarthy's not calling the plays. He's telling the guy who calls the plays what he wants him to call. So, or at least the kind of theme of that. So I don't know. I worry about Zeke long-term viability. I'm willing to give it until next year and see, like, okay, if this is a one-off. But yeah, it's a concern. Tony Pollard is certainly faster. I mean, he's faster than most everybody. So that's different. But he's not, I don't think he's an every down back, but they found ways to involve him more and gives Zeke a break. But you're right. I mean, it's a concern. It's definitely a concern. I'm willing to hold off hitting the panic button, although my hand is, you know, sitting right over top of it, waiting to, like, hey, maybe they need to do something about Zeke.
Yeah, it just seems like, I know the Cowboys have great receivers, but I don't think the Bengals are going to be necessarily worried about Andy Dalton doing anything. And right now, like, people are hating on Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo, rightfully so, but his unit is at least performing kind of consistently. They're just not getting any help from their offense because Brandon Allen, a quarterback. So it just seems like if the Cowboys win this game, it's going to be because Pollard and Zeke are having their way with the Bengals defense, because I just don't think that the Bengals offense can do anything, even against this Cowboys defense. It's going to be like, it's the opposite of an unmovable force against an unstoppable object. It's like the completely movable force versus the completely stoppable object, you know, which inept unit is going to basically win out first.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because the Cowboys offense is, I mean, it's pretty inept. I mean, and part of it is just the offensive line, which surprisingly only allowed one sack last night. I couldn't believe that. Maybe it's just the Ravens are still, you know, have a COVID hangover. But I wonder what it's going to be and how, like, if you're the Bengals, like, you should blitz all the time, you know, take chances. Like, what do you have to lose? And the Cowboys offensive line is awful. So and down to the third string tackles on either side.
Our offensive line is pretty awful. Yeah. I just want to say, I watched the game last night, and one thing that really impressed me about the Dallas Cowboys offensively was the ability of receivers to get yards on the play. So they would catch the ball short passes, and then maybe get 5-6 yards on the play running. I thought that was kind of impressive and seemed to me strategically a good move considering their options.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they had to do, is throw quick passes because they weren't going to have a lot of time in the pocket. And so it was a good game plan by Kellen Moore. Just the Cowboys cannot sustain a drive. And plus they had a drive at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Zeke Elliott rushes for 14 yards, 11 yards and 3 yards. And then they said, let's just sit him down. Like, I mean, now he's got the hot hand. The other thing about Zeke, like, he's better when you get to the 20th carry. When you get to the 20th, he's not getting there anymore because of whatever reason. Sometimes because he's fumbled twice in the game, and they just take him out. So it is, I don't know. This game is going to be, it's two bad teams, like, in a pillow fight. So I didn't really know what to expect from it. And I would expect that the Cowboys would win this one, just given the fact that, you know, all the good vibes that Joe Burrow brought the Bengals are gone because he's not there and Brandon Allen's the quarterback. But I've seen the Cowboys, you know, roll it out and lose to worse. So
Paul, let's hope that it's not a pillow fight. Let's hope it's a tickle fight.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, everybody, go to Paul's podcast. Go to his website, Sikkim365, and make sure to subscribe to his podcast, Believe in the Cowboys, on the Believe Podcast Network, and leave a 5-star review, as you have already done for our podcast, obviously. And for Paul Catalina, John Sheeran, and Dr. Hoji D. Electric, Smoji, and Daddy McDuke. So thank you for joining us. We will see you next time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.